In a world where action films are dumped in theaters and TV, dead on arrival.
I can't go on living this lie!
You need a hero.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
You need a helper.
Hello, nothing to see here.
You need a healer.
That is affirmative.
You need...
We're on the air.
Professor Rick's Action Film Autopsy.
Hey, everybody. Here's a short but extremely sweet interview with my beautiful buddy, Cynthia Rothrock, recorded at Sifu Allen Goldberg's Action Magazine Hall of Honors Mega Weekend in Atlantic City. So, just like the Benny the Jet episode, there's going to be a lot of ambient noise. But I, for one, think it's well worth it. Even though I've known Cynthia for almost 30 years now, there's stuff she reveals here I never knew before, and I'm betting you might not know either. So let's get to it. We take you now to the Tropicana Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City.
There we go.
Okay, so this is just speaking, right?
This is just speaking.
Okay.
Now, do you remember when we first met?
Oh, my gosh, when we first met.
You had a different name then. I believe your first name was China.
Oh.
And your last name was?
O'Brien.
O'Brien. And we were at the official screening somewhere in L.A.
That's right,
and
yeah.
And they introduced me to you. You were a tiny little slip of a thing.
Yeah.
A teenager.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You were just turned 12, I believe.
Yeah, I think I was 13 at that time.
13 at that. But I already knew your fame quite well, having come from Hong Kong.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have met over the years, but this is the first time we've actually got to talk.
Yes.
Well, to talk
well,
on
talk
record.
On, yes,
on
right.
Record.
I was going to say, we talk much. Yeah,
this is Cynthia Rothrock, who has no... you have Blonde Fury, China O'Brien. What other names do? Lady Dragon?
Lady Dragon, right. Martial Law,
right.
Beth Getaway.
But they don't call you Martial Law.
You mean
what
they call me?
You?
Oh, wait, you thought they were saying movies. Yeah, I've been called China O'Brien for a long time, and then Lady Dragon, and then Lady Dragon stuck with me even to this day.
Now... The first time I think I ever saw you was in Yes, Madam, with Michelle Yeoh.
Yes, yes.
Right. So tell, how did you get from wherever you started to that? Fill us in.
Yeah, well, I was on the West Coast demonstration team, and the leader, Ernie Reyes, got a call from Paul Maslick, who was the editor of Inside Kung Fu at the time.
Right.
And he said, there's a Hong Kong company here. We're auditioning people. We're looking for a new guy to be the new Bruce Lee. And Ernie said, well, shall we bring the women? And he said, yeah, you can bring them, but they're not looking for a woman. So we all went down anyway, and it was at Heel Cho School, and I had one cover out at the time, right? And I remember I handed my cover on the floor, right? For some reason, they were saying, put it on the floor. And then Heel Cho came and put like his like 20 covers over my one cover, and I was like, oh. And then they're like, do some form. They did do some weapons, do some fighting, some self-defense. And Yun Kuei was one of the guys doing the auditioning. And it was for Msi Yoon, seasonal films. And he said, I want to go with the girl. I don't want to go with the guy. I want to go with the girl. So they called me up and they said, you got the part.
Wait a minute. How did you get, even beyond that, how were you attracted by martial arts?
Oh, by martial arts? Well, when I was 13, my girlfriend's parents were studying martial arts. And they owned a health club. And on Sunday, we would go down and then they had a big exercise room. So we would practice cartwheels and all kinds of crazy stuff. And then they would practice their martial arts. And I was like, wow, I like that uniform. I like that belt. What are they doing? I like that. So I told my mom, I said, I want to sign up for martial arts. And she said, well, okay, but you got to stick to it this time. And I had to sign up for 4 months. And I didn't like it at first. I was the only girl in the class. I was all men. I couldn't shout. I felt intimidated, you know. And I wanted to quit. My mom says, you can't quit. You're going 4 months. And during that time, my instructor gave a speech saying, if you're not any good, it's because you don't practice. And it was true. I didn't practice. And I thought he was delivering it directly to me. So I started practicing, and then I started getting good. And then, you know, I liked it. So it was a good lesson learned, you know, that holds to my lifetime is don't give up because something's hard.
Right.
Because you never know what's going to become of it, you know.
Yeah.
So you'll get it eventually.
Did you like movies as a kid?
I loved movies as a kid. Not martial art movies, but I liked, you know, like animal movies, Disney movies.
There you go.
You know, I like that. But, Yeah, once I started in martial arts and everything was martial arts, you know, yeah. What I watched in movies, what I read, you know, that was my life then.
This is actually quite interesting because I've done a lot of interviews with the other guys, you know, Vincent Lin, Bobby Samuels, Don the Dragon, and Bruce Lee started all of them. That's what they were inspired by. But you're Cynthia Rothrock.
Well, actually, as far as film goes, well, yeah. I didn't really get inspired by anybody. I just started doing martial arts. But when I started watching the movies, I was studying Ying Jiao Pai with Sheng Liang, mm-hmm. and every Sunday I would drive from Pennsylvania to New York to train with him, and then after training, he would take us to Chinatown, and that's when I saw Jackie Chan.
Oh, there you
and
go.
And he became my idol. I would go home and try to remember moves he did and pretend I was Jackie Chan, you know, and, you know, I never dreamed that I would meet him and be doing movies in Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, you know, when you started doing the martial arts, and again, I love that comment you made that I didn't shout, you know, because I've always found that to be just totally false anyway. Ah, you know, that proves you're a man. We were just talking about an anime movie where I was going, all they do is shout louder and punch harder. That's not effective. So you said, you know, you couldn't shout, so you gravitated naturally to the more gymnastic martial arts? What happened?
To what kind of martial arts?
To the more gymnastic.
Oh, well, I did, but, well, here's what happened. I was studying, Tung Sudo.
Yeah.
And at that time, you couldn't study anything else.
Right.
You had one school and that was it. But I started dating someone that was doing Kung Fu. So they said, well, train in Kung Fu. And since I liked the guy, I was training in Kung Fu. And then I said, oh, I like the Kung Fu. My Tung Sudo teacher says, you got to make a decision. You can't do one or the other. So, of course, I went with Kung Fu because I was dating the guy.
Yeah, I should hope so.
And then I went to New York City and I saw a competitor, Benson Lee, doing Shum Liang, you know, Shum Liang style, Eagle Claw. And I just loved it. I loved the weapons, you know, and that's what attracted me to Kung Fu is weapons. Because in Tung Sudo at that time, we didn't have any weapons, you know. And I was like, I want to do that double-headed spear for him. I want to do hook swords, you know. I was like, I was in heaven, you know.
Yeah.
So
Tung Sudo.
That's still my love. It's weapons.
Yeah.
I'm doing weapons.
And the Tung Sudo thing was just an accident, right? That was just the school you went to.
It was the only school is the Scranton Karate School.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So I was lecturing somebody on the escalator on the way in saying, all martial arts is the same. Human body, human mind, the world around you. The teachers who tell you, you can only do mine. You have to choose. I'm going, why choose?
Yeah.
Human body, human mind, the world around you. And you got to miss that because of your natural love of weapons.
Yes, right.
And did you see them as weapons or you just saw them as, what, accessories?
I did see them as weapons, uh-huh. but I saw them as art.
Right.
I saw them as maybe like a ballet person would look at a ballet and go, wow, here I am a martial artist and I'm looking at these performances that are mind-blowing to me. And then when I saw the wushu people do it, I was even like, oh, I got to learn that, you know, and it was just beautiful to me. It was complicated, it was challenging, it was dangerous, but I wanted to.
But it was also beautiful.
Yes, of course.
It wasn't just fighting.
Yeah.
It was also performing.
Yeah, I used to actually say, you know, it's like a deadly ballet.
Right. So, what was your first movie?
My first movie?
Yeah.
My first real movie was Yes, Madam.
What was your first fake movie?
My first fake movie is I did some silly little thing with George Chung. And I don't even remember what it was called, but yeah, nobody knew what they were doing. And I don't think it never got distributed. And you know, I don't even know.
Oh, good. All right. So
yes.
It was a fake movie.
It was a play movie. You
so
know,
we
like,
can,
yeah.
It was your audition, basically. It was a dress rehearsal.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Kind of.
But then when I went to Hong Kong and I did my first real movie, it was totally different because nobody spoke English, you know, and I thought I had to speak Chinese, and at first they tried to get me to speak Chinese, and I tried, and I was like, oh, that's not going to work. They're, no worry, okay, just say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I was like, well, can you tell me what I'm saying so at least I'll put the syllables to that, because I could get a little more feeling into saying words than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, I know. I did a film in Scotland for Iran, believe it or not. I had to do the same thing.
Yeah.
one, two, three, four, five.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I never would have guessed that. But that was, Yes, Madam was your first film.
Yes, yes.
That was a heck of a thing to start with.
It sure was. And, you know, I went over there for 4 months, right?
Yeah.
And it took 7.5 months to shoot.
Yeah.
And it was so tough and so hard, and I got beat up, but I loved it.
How badly beat up did you get?
Now, there's a scene Michelle and I were doing. It was actually, I don't know, I think it was in a bar, and we had a fight scene in the restroom with some people come in. And we were so bruised that Yun Kuei cut the whole scene out because we kept flinching every time we'd get hit.
Now, did Michelle speak English then?
Yeah, she did.
She did.
Yeah,
so, did you cling to each
yes.
other?
I clung to her, put it that way.
Because she wasn't a martial artist.
No, she was a dancer.
She was a dancer.
And learned martial arts in the movies. Yeah.
Incredible. I mean,
yeah.
Is there any other story? I mean, I'm thinking back on the incredible fight scenes.
Yeah.
I've shown, you've been a guest at my Kung Fu Extravaganza at San Diego Comic-Con, and I could show your scenes over and over and over again because they're so beautiful, so complex, so well structured. How did you make, specifically the climactic fight scene in Yes, Madam, how was that put together and how long did it take?
That ending scene was 1 month to shoot, just that 1 month. And that was really hard. During that scene, I got hit in the nose with a sword. And you know when you get hit in the nose and your eyes start tearing and stuff, and my nose was swollen. And Yun Kuei came over to me and looked at me and he goes, oh, your nose looks better now.
Now you look like Jackie Chan.
And then Dick Wei kicked me in the head and blood started coming out of my ear. And all I could think of is, oh my gosh, when people die, blood comes out of their ear. So they take me to the doctors and the doctor says, well, he split your internal ear open, but it's in too deep. I can't stitch it. So there's nothing I could do. So go back to the set and continue filming.
And did you have that looked at when you got back home?
No, because I was still in Hong Kong, you know. That was like in the beginning maybe, so I was still in Hong Kong for another month and a half.
And so you never did anything about that?
No, That was it. Yeah,
just healed it on its own?
I guess. I know stuff would drip out of my ear through that, through shooting that for the next couple of days.
That was what I was going to lead to. I mean, we don't have to go through every single film you made. How many films did you make?
Total?
Yeah, you think, in Hong Kong.
I think I made like 7.
Yeah, and they never got easier, did they?
No, they never did. And each one I would shoot, that they would try to top the last stunt I did. And I was going to shoot another one. I don't know if you remember, there was a high, you know, next to downtown Kowloon, it was a big high-rise building right in town. Well, they actually wanted me to jump off of that. And they said, you're going to be like on a rope, but there's not going to be any safety net. And I said, okay, because I wouldn't say no, but I was so paranoid that, oh my gosh, I think that's a stunt that some stuntmen wouldn't do. And then Golden Harvest said, well, we want you to go to Utah and shoot 2 China O'Brien movies. I was like, okay.
Bye. Yeah,
yeah.
See you. That's amazing. I mean, you know all the stories. I mean, Vincent Lin, who you fought with in Blonde Fury.
Yes.
Lady Reporter. He tells the stories, too, where they keep promising him things. Oh, there'll be something here, or we'll have a wire here, and they never work,
and
they break, and, you know, the boxes they put down for you to land on, you always go 2 feet beyond the boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Was the ear thing the worst accident you had, or did it even get worse?
No, I don't think the ear thing, no, it was not. It was in Lady Reporter. I had a jump from a building, right? And it was about 2 stories, you know, and I'm looking at it from the ground with Yun Kuei. He goes, you think you can jump off that? And I'm going, yeah, I can. So I get up to the top, and now it's a different perspective when you're looking up and you're 5 feet taller, right? And then he goes, okay, when I say action, you have to jump because there's an explosion going, and if you don't, you're going to get hit with the fire. Now I have heels on, high heels on, and a fake baby in my hand, and I got to jump to the cardboard boxes on action. So I hear action, and my heart is like racing, right? And I feel the heat, so I jump. I land in the, you know, and I'm not a stunt person, so I didn't know how to jump off a high building. So I jump, I land on my feet, I fall on my butt, my knee comes up and hits me in the nose. I thought I broke my nose, right? Tears coming down my eyes.
Yeah.
So then Yoon Kwei goes, oh, we got to shoot it again. There was something wrong with the film. I was like, no, because now I'm even more scared because I know how horrible it was.
Yeah.
So I get up and I do it again. And then he said, okay, now I'm going to put you on a 10-foot ledge, and I want you to jump from the ledge with the baby in your hand, and you can't, you have to stick it like a gymnast. You can't even, like, move a little bit. So we did that, like, about 20 times, right, from, like, 10 feet in the heels, landing without bouncing, because they were going to cut it. So, you know, here I jump off the building, and then I land on the ground,
yeah.
Right, not on the box. So I go home that night, and all of a sudden I'm going to pass out, right?
Yeah.
So I go to the doctor, and the doctor goes, you jumbled your internal organs. And I was like, what? He goes, you jumbled your internal organs. I was like, what does that mean, you know? And he gave me, you know, some pills where you take like 100 of them every day, you know? And I went back, and that was it. And then I was fine.
Yeah, then you were fine.
I was fine, but I never knew when I jumbled my internal organs, you know?
Well, I tell you, the respect the Hong Kong guys gave you, because you also, you were supposed to, the rumor is, you can say if this is correct or not, that you were supposed to fight Jackie in Armor of God.
Yes, I was, yeah.
What happened with that?
Well, what happened with that is that's right when he got into the accident. Remember, he had the brain accident?
Right, and in Armor of God.
Yes, and no, that wasn't in Armor of God. That was in something else.
No, it was Armor of God. He fell off the tree. Had the blood coming out of his ear in the outtakes.
Well, no, because because I was supposed to be the bad person in that, and then he got in an accident, right?
Right.
And they postponed his film, and then they said, well, you're going to go with Yuen Biu instead in this movie.
It was Armor of God. They postponed Armor of God.
Oh, they postponed it after that.
Yeah, and then he came back 6 months later and replaced him with the African women instead of you.
Right, yeah, Linda Denley.
But meanwhile, Sammo gives you incredible face by doing a one-on-one fight with you. And you know what Sammo's like.
Oh, yes, I do, yeah.
So tell me about that.
Well, you know, it was funny because everybody was kind of scaring me about it because they're like, oh, Sammo's so big and he's so strong and, you know, be careful.
He likes beating up women, too, on screen.
And here's a funny story. So we're going in and there's a scene in Shanghai Express,
right,
where I have to, I wheel kick Sammo. Well, Sammo had a double there and he's directing it, right? And he's going up and I kick and the guy comes in close. I was going to hit him in the face. And Sammo goes, oh, you're kicking too high. So I do it again. I am kicking high because I've hit the guy, right? And I don't want to hit him. And Sammo's really mad. We heard that he lost a big amount of money at the casino. So he's really mad and he's screaming. And I was like, Sammo, but if I do it here, he keeps coming in. I'm going to kick him. And Sammo says, kick him, right? So I go to the guy. Here's where my foot is coming. If you come in that close, I'm going to hit you. So I'm so nervous now that Sammo's yelling at me, telling me to kick him. The guy comes in close. I hit him. The blood's coming now out of his ear. Now I know what that's like. I felt so bad. And Sammo's going, great, good, we got it. And then I was feeling really bad, right, because I hit this guy, right? And then someone comes up to me and says, oh, don't feel bad. I'm like, oh, no, I do. I feel bad, right? And they go, no, that's the guy that hit you in the nose with the sword.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So Sammo, so you get to do China O'Brien, and when did you decide, when was No Retreat, No Surrender?
No Retreat, No Surrender was the second movie. It was after Yes, Madam.
It was the second movie.
Yes.
All right. That wasn't as much of a nightmare, was it?
Let's see. It was a little crazy there. We were there for quite a long time as well.
But they made you a major part in that.
And
a hero, too.
Yeah, the part was good. The interesting thing about that is we had a Chinese crew.
Right.
We had an American crew.
Right.
And we had a Thai crew. And none of them got along.
Of course.
And it was really, it was hectic on the set with, you know, them wanting to fight. Yoon Kwei wanted, oh my gosh, nothing really went along. See, Yoon didn't have coffee for the workers, so the workers didn't want to come to work. They wanted to quit.
Oh my God.
Lauren Avedon picks up a gun, starts shooting into the woods, and there's real ammunition in it.
Oh.
And then Roy Horan comes screaming, what are you doing? What are you doing? There's real ammunition in that. It's like, oh my gosh. So many people like threatened to quit. Matt Stayer wanted to quit.
Yeah.
He got in a fight with Yoon Kwei. They're like, F you, da da da, F you, right? And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, Max, stop.
Yeah.
You're going to have to reshoot this thing all over again if you leave and get someone else to play your part. Just be cool and let's finish this movie and get out of Thailand.
Oh my gosh. Well, so when did you decide no more Hong Kong?
When did I say no more? Well, you know what? I've never decided no more Hong Kong, but when I was doing China O'Brien, I got a call from William Friedkin, and he says, I want to put you in this movie with Sylvester Stallone, right? And I said, okay, I'm thinking it's someone joking with me. Yeah. Going, no, we're flying you in on my one day off on China O'Brien. And they said, you know, Joel Silver was going to produce it. The guys from RoboCop were going to do the script. And I'm meeting them, and I meet everybody. And then William Friedkin comes up to me, and he goes, you know, you got the part. We'll have a contract for you tomorrow. So then Stallone drives me to the airport, and I'm sitting here going, I'm like going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this, right? So I go back to China O'Brien, the little film on the set, going, you know, I'm going to do the, it was the Vigilante that we were supposed to shoot together. And that never went. William Friedkin didn't like the script, and Stallone did. And then William Friedkin said, no, Stallone said to me about William Friedkin, he's never going to work in this town again. And I was like, and I go to William Friedkin, does this mean we're not going to shoot that movie? So anyway, during this time, because I had that deal, they said, you have to get an agent. And they put me with ICM. And they put with Lou Pitt, who is Arnold Schwarzenegger's agent. And he says, you cannot do no more Hong Kong movies. And I was like, oh, but I want to. He goes, no, you can't. And that was a big mistake, because I would have loved to continue doing it. But at that time, you know, I didn't know who to listen to. But I was like, well, I better listen to, you know, my agent. And Golden Harvest said, we want to do China Brian 3 and 4. And they offered me a real lot of money. And Lou Pitt said, no, she can't do it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, as you can hear, everybody, the Wizard of Oz is demanding that we leave the room.
Yeah, Elvis must leave the building.
So we pretty much, so we wrapped a ribbon on their Hong Kong life.
You know what? Yeah, I did go back. I did go back, and I shot another film since then. It was after, I think it was, what was it? It was... Inspector Wears Skirts, I think.
Oh, yes, of course, Inspector Wears Skirts.
Yeah, I went back.
Sure, also,
and
that's it.
Yeah, after that.
Yeah.
Or did I, or didn't I? I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, you were in it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
I think that was for Jackie's company, too.
Yeah. No, that was Wynn.
I think Wynn.
But you know what? I don't know. I would have loved to have gone back, but at that point, then I started getting American deals and stuff like that. And then 1999 came around, and then everybody was, you know, getting out of there a little earlier. About 97 they were. And then 99 I had my daughter.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'd love to. That's one of my dreams, is to go back and do a Hong Kong movie right now.
Well,
it really is, to work back in that kind of action with the directors and, you know, or with Yuen Kuei or Sammo or someone. I would love to.
Tragically, we can talk about this afterwards, but tragically there really isn't any Hong Kong cinema anymore. China did take over. We'll talk about that later. But because we're being forced out of here, let's make this a part one.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking as we're talking all the time. I met you at the Carnegie Hall. I met you at the Hong Kong Film Awards.
Oh, yeah.
There are all these times that we've met. So there's much more to this story, but thank you, Cynthia.
And I don't know if you remember. Do you remember I came and saw you when you were at the Medieval Castle?
I didn't remember that you saw me in Medieval Times.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Yes.
Wasn't I great?
You were. You were.
So were you. Well, thank you, Cynthia.
Okay.
And we will talk soon. And also, my sign-off, although I may do an intro and outro on this, my sign-off is use your blinkers, jackass.
Okay.
So let's do it together.
Okay.
One, two, three. Use your blinkers, jackass.
Okay, break it up. Break it up. For now.
You don't give up, do you?
Listen in next time for more Film Fun, Frenzy, and Friends. Until then,
a real fight.
Check out actionfilmautopsy.com, where the excitement never ends.
Sonic Victory.